Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Lance stays till 9:30, but he'll join us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. So what? Big news out there, guys. Jalen Ramsey wants out. He wants to be traded.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Line them up, guys. What picks do we have? 0-0. This year's 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and next year's
what if they
third,
give up
4th, 5th, 6th,
what if they
7th?
Give up 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7?
Oh.
That's something that the Jaguars would want.
Hot boy fall. Hot boy fall. Let's make it happen. I'm listening to these other shows coming in, and they're all having this conversation. I'm like, do y'all not know how any of this works? Like, I get that it's for radio purposes. We could kill off some segments and try
to
do this.
Well, let's kill a segment.
If you want to do that. But here's the
bottom line.
Well,
I don't think we should kill the first segment. I don't know.
Yeah, we could have a fake second segment where we act like the Texans are going to, you know, how you could get Jalen Ramsey. Let's just be real about this. A, they're a big division rival. You're not getting the best cover corner in the same division with that same team. That's never happening.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did y'all not cover all the sports?
Wait. Yeah, it did happen. AJ Bouye went there.
No, there's free agency.
Yeah, right.
That's totally different.
Right.
Free agency happens. You're not trading one of the very best to a rival. You're just not doing it. So you would have to have nobody make a trade offer. Number two, you have no first round
picks. If you thought the dude would just blow up your locker room, maybe you would.
You know what? That's a good point. If you thought that was if you're putting crushed glass in your food, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, here, Texans, I'd like for y'all to try this fentanyl-laced churro. Oh, no.
Right.
Fentanyl-laced churro.
No, that doesn't sound tasty.
It sounds good on the front end and bad on the back end. Yeah, kind of like Jalen Ramsey by year two, where he's in trying to internally destroy your team, just like Antonio Brown did to the Raiders. And now we'll see if he stays alive. Well, he seems awfully compliant with the Patriots, doesn't he?
So yeah, by the way, that was the last game he'll play. Well, for a while.
Anyway. I saw something. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had the other thing.
There's another thing now.
Yeah. Shocking.
So, Antonio Brown, he just can't. I mean, the commissioner just can't. The wonderful commissioner can't keep doing this.
Of Twitter for the guys who argue with me previously.
Is this the week of God? What the hell happened? When did the NFL become the NBA? I mean, holy crap. Everybody wants a trade.
I think Antonio Brown. Kind of Le'Veon, but that was a basic, you know.
No,
that
but
was
he,
a,
well,
that
he
was a
waited, but he
dispute.
Sat. So, you know what? You're going to sit for a year. Guess what? You lose a year full of money.
It started with Antonio Brown. The NFL is now doing what the NBA does, which Antonio Brown fussed his way out. So now the NFL is going to try it. Minkah Fitzpatrick did it, and he got out to. And then Jalen, I do believe. Now, I believe that there will be a mutual parting between Jalen Ramsey and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I wonder why Jalen didn't take that opportunity yesterday to find a microphone and complain about everybody and bash everybody, because that's what he does on with his own team. He bashes everybody and complains. He did it all last year. He was one of the primary malignant cancers that took that team that went from AFC championship game to, what, 4 wins last year. He was a primary culprit in how bad that was. And from what I've heard from a source close to Jacksonville, he is one of the real power brokers in the locker room too. He is one of the guys. Let me tell you who it's not. Everyone thought it was going to be Calais Campbell. I did. I heard, oh no, Calais gets treated like a little bitch in the locker room. He ain't allowed to say anything. I'm like, what? Calais Campbell? Yeah. Somebody who knows Jacksonville real well told me that. And so Jalen is the guy. So Jalen is a malignant cancer. He's so I think they want him out of there. So it's going to start with a first-round pick for Jalen Ramsey. Yesterday, Minka Fitzpatrick was traded from Miami, the Titanic, to the Pittsburgh Steelers in exchange. So it was for a first and then a fifth. It was five picks. Basically, it was a first-round pick. And then 1 year, they flip-flop picks so that 1 year, the Steelers get the higher pick. And then the next year, the Dolphins get the higher pick or vice versa. It was, if you're keeping track, it was nowhere near what the Texans gave up for Laremy Tunsil. Not even remotely close.
Well, you saw the tweet by one general manager said, yeah, the Dolphins are, but after the Tunsil trade, they're unrealistic in all their expectations for their players.
Chris Greer's like, yeah. You know, I got to be honest with you, being a GM's not that hard. Well, that's Bill O'Brien.
Right. You worked Bill O'Brien.
You won't, by the way, Jalen Ramsey's the best corner in all of football, which is a more, I think, it's a lockdown corner. When you know you have a premier lockdown corner versus a guy who's an ascending left tackle but hasn't been a Pro Bowler, that's not even close. Jalen has way more value, you would think. You're not going to get two ones for Jalen Ramsey. They're not going to.
No. Speaking of Bill O'Brien, by the way, Jimbo Fisher joins us at 7:15 in 10 minutes.
Speaking of him.
10 minutes here on ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgorsen joins us at 8:30 this morning because they got a Thursday game at Tulane. Lance, I want to ask you a question. And let's stop with the Jalen Ramsey, brother. That's never
you don't
happen.
Have a you don't have a first round pick.
You don't have
it's over. You don't have first round picks.
They're not
You're
waiting.
Not playing.
They're not waiting until 2022 for a pick from the Texans. So that we can stop. No Jalen Ramsey.
I don't
here.
Care how much you say the Texans are going all in. Yes, Dale?
But didn't you see that Jalen and DeAndre, they're always patting each other on the back and stuff?
I know.
That means the deal has to happen.
Everyone shows me Twitter. Did you see when he followed DeAndre Hopkins and he liked, and the Texans are on the team he follows? Great. I'm glad he follows them. Yeah. They're a division rival and they have no first round picks. Next.
Maybe the whole team will give the Jags a follow if they trade Jalen.
What? The Texans have given up 10 sacks in the first two games, and Laremy Tunsil still plays there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You don't have first-round picks.
You gave them up for Laremy Tunsil. So I'm looking through these transcripts of Bill O'Brien, who starts his...
He got a little...
He starts his press conference...
A little feisty in the beginning, wasn't it?
Well,
at least in the transcript, it looks like it.
Do you no longer have Victory Mondays? No. You cut those out? I haven't cut them out. I'm not sure what you're talking about. You always gave them off on Mondays following a win. No, I haven't always done that. Nope. Okay.
Okay, I stay corrected, right. Sir.
So I'm looking through here. Huh. I don't see. Let's see. Lonnie Johnson, Jaguars limit big passing, quarterback blitz. Inside linebacker Zach Cunningham, Whitney Merciless. Where's the question about, after you watched the tape, did you think that maybe you should have called a timeout at any point? Because now, do you understand the question? Do you understand the question? Because you obviously didn't understand the question after the game.
Yeah, no one asked it.
Nobody asked the question.
No one asked that question.
Nobody asked the question. And there were articles written, entire shows were talking about this, yet no one would ask him whether or not he should have called a timeout during that drive to save time and possibly get a touchdown instead of a field goal. Not one person asked him that. What a bunch of pusses. Oh, my God. That is pitiful. You know what? That this media market is soft. It is. That is ridiculous that no one would ask him that question. Hey, you watch the tape again. You wasted 24 seconds after the Akins play. There were 28 seconds ticked off after the Hyde run. Another 16 after the Hopkins catch. After watching the tape, did you think maybe you should have called a timeout at any of those points? That's a question. For a freaking coach that messed up and yet nothing. That is so weak that nobody would ask that question. And Brian T. Smith wrote an article about it. John McClain is there. Everybody is there. Everybody is there and nobody asked that question. That is unbelievable. And everybody was complaining about it yesterday. And yet we get no answer on that. What Bill, you know, because after some of his... You know, after the Gronk thing, he didn't call the timeout so that the refs could then give the refs time to look at it and maybe review it. He said, that's not my job. The next day, he came back and he said, you know, after, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of admitted that he made a mistake.
He is willing to
yes.
Although, if he's sensitive to the discussions about his fitness to be making trades as a general manager and stuff like that, he might be a little bit hesitant to put himself out there as a guy, you know, who made a mistake in game or who would have done it differently, maybe.
Oh,
or
I don't know. He's done that before, though.
Heat, if he's feeling any heat.
Now, he doesn't like, he has said before, no clock management questions. Because he got lit up before that's about his clock management.
Know,
but you know what? This is a clock management. He screwed up.
Yeah, but I don't think he wants to go over it again.
Well, so you don't ask him?
You could ask him. I think you're going to get your head
get your head bit off.
I think you're going to get your head bitten off.
Okay, get your head bitten off then.
I don't want
you, you know
I don't want my head
you know
bitten
what?
Off.
Greg Williams, that's fine. Okay? You're going to bite the head off the snake? Fine. But you know what?
Bite the head off
that's
the
a
snake.
That's a real question. Not
no one said
what did
bite
you think of Whitney Merciless's game? How was what the bleep? All right.
What about Whitney Merciless? Yeah.
Hey, did Zach Cunningham play well? Oh.
There was the David Questenberry question.
Oh my.
You got to ask
your
about
thoughts
that.
On a guy who doesn't play here anymore.
All right, I got.
What about Whitney? What about the good stuff, Coach?
How was Whitney?
What happened to Victory Mondays? Nope, nothing. No. Everyone's
shrink. That's why. Everybody said, best not ask him.
Everyone's looking around.
Better not ask him.
What about Whitney? Was Whitney good? Yes, Whitney was good.
Whitney was great. Thanks.
What about Bradley Roby?
Howdy.
They talk about Skeeters. The defending champ, Sugarland Skeeters, they're back this week for their final homestand of the season with games from Tuesday through Sunday. So starting today, first pitch at 7:05 p.m., Wednesday's Dollar Dog Wednesday. I'm getting ahead of myself. Dollar Dog Wednesday, $1 hot dogs and discounted White Claws. That's right. White Claw Wednesday. It's on. First pitch is 7:05. Thursday's Bark at the Park. Bring your furry friends to Constellation Field. Thirsty Thursday also. $2 beers and sodas. The Skeeters playoffs are Tuesday, September 24th and Wednesday, September 25th. Only $10 for field box seats and 19 all you can eat tickets in the buffet in the suite. Post-game fireworks show after the Tuesday game. Go to SugarlandSkeeters.com for your tickets for a great night of baseball and playoff baseball.
Time now to hear from Coach Jimbo Fisher on your home for the Aggies.
Home for the Aggies.
ESPN 97.5. Presented by Jack's Grill. Here's John Lance and Coach Jimbo Fisher. Get up.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Time to bring in the head coach of Texas A&M Aggies, brought to you by Jack's Grill. A couple locations right here in the city. You're looking for a great place to bring the kids? Just go out to dinner, Jack's Grill. Jimbo Fisher joining us here. Coach, how are you?
Doing fine.
So what do you learn after a game like that on Saturday night, Coach?
Well, that you can execute. You go out and you play three phases, and you play complete ball, and you make decisions, and like I said, on special teams, we did a great job on the kick and cover. We got our punt return game going. We got got some kinks ironed out in that and got some space for Rashad. Rashad did a tremendous job in that. Defensively, the eye violations that were created because we had midline reading threes, reading fives, play action naked. You know, it's a great example of keeping not only playing well physically but kept great leverage on the football, not many missed assignments. Offensively, execution under pressure. They brought multitudes of blitzes that we were able to pick up, put hats on hats, and then we were able to execute. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things you got out of it, and then, you know, we're efficient in our drives and what we did.
You know what? You just talked about the midline and reading the threes and fives, which is, for people who don't know what he's talking, three technique, five technique, midline, meaning there's a read of a player. It's the old option stuff, like Veer stuff used to have. And so out of the zone read has come a lot more the option, you know, you have option-based football that has also turned into, you know, run pass. I mean, it's really developed, and it's really cool how football has really it's simple, and yet it's become more complex in the same way. Can you talk about that? How as an old school football coach, and my dad is coach with you, and he was on Bill Yeoman's staff here at University of Houston, Veer football. But I think it's really amazing how some of the old principles of football never die, and one of them is option football and reading people and leaving them unblocked and reading them off the line.
We're going back to 50s, 60s, and 70s football. Mm-hmm. All this spread stuff and what people are doing, because when you're reading the end, you're really running a Veer. Put a back over the top or a bubble outside or a quarterback run. It's all the old split back Veer to a point. then you go midline, and then you go with a quarterback runs in the face. It's almost like single wing in the 50s. And then what you've done, you've added the modern pass. It's a combination of all the decades of football, and it's really coming together with the different things that are going on. Because, listen, all the things that worked back then, things come in a circle. So, you know, you're combining 50s and 60s, quarterback run, midline reads, you know, the old single wing when the quarterback's got extra blockers when he runs the ball, to combining that now with the modern passing game and with allowing linemen to be 2 to 3 yards downfield, which you used to not be able to do. It's changed how you've been able to call games, and it's become very, very tough on defenses and the things that are going on now.
Yeah, it's funny. Because they can go 2-3 yards down the field, coaches, a lot of times the linemen don't know whether or not it's a pass or a run on a play.
No, it doesn't. That's why you're seeing so much man coverage, because you got to have guys that fit the gaps. And then, but if you play old zone, well, there's my read. The lineman's going downfield, outfield. There's a void. That's where they're throwing the RPOs. That's why I'm allowing so many RPOs now, because the rules of football have changed. And
yeah.
It's made it much more difficult in those circumstances. So, and if you got to mix zone and you got to have those things, but if you can't play man, the RPO game can eat you alive.
How much easier when you know a team is always going to be in man, coach, is it for how many more quarterback runs will you call? Because those defensive backs are going to just turn and run, and they're taking themselves out of plays.
What is that? I mean, when you're in man coverage, being able to run the football is critical, because when you break the line of scrimmage, there's big plays that can be made. That's one of the things about zone, that it can limit and do things. But you know, because then you say we play zone in the RPO game. So it becomes a cat and mouse game, back and forth, and what you see and what you can get, and then what kids can learn. And, but, you know, the challenging thing with that is you only got a 20-hour rule. So it's hard to get so much in. We do quite a bit here and have our kids retain it. But, you know, it becomes tough. But when you can run your quarterback and do those things versus man coverage, you can make a big difference.
So is the SEC, because you're going to get a lot better athletes, you're going to have corner. I mean, you can't play man if guys can't run with people. You're almost forced to play zone. But the SEC has so many good athletes. Is it for the most part a man conference?
If it isn't, it's match zone, which turns into man, which allows. And what allows you to do that, there's so many great defensive linemen. That's the thing that people say, you know, you want to run it versus all that man. But when that front is so good, that's how they make up the things. And that's how we have done it at times. Right now, our front's playing very well. And at times at Clemson and things, at different games like that, when you want to help your coverages, you know, you got four guys taking on five gaps and things of that nature that happen. You know, Auburn's a team like that we play this week, great front. And they can make up and do things in the secondary because their front is so good and how they do things. And that's the other difference here in the South, in my opinion, is the number of defensive linemen that are in this league.
Boy, and one of them for Auburn, a guy who came back to school, and I know it's not in vogue, but when Derrick Brown went back to school, I thought it was the right move. I thought it was the right move for him, because I didn't think he and Raekwon, I thought this is the right move for those guys, because they're not quite, they can make themselves more money. There's more
they
football
can,
left.
But I'm going to tell you what, I disagree with you on that one.
You wanted him out.
I think he would have been the second or third defensive lineman taken in the draft. I really do.
He might have been. You're talking
about
Derrick?
Who we played last year, I thought the guy was outstanding. I mean, but, you know, it's a good thing for college football. He gets another year of education and all those things, and shows you don't have to go, and he definitely will. I think he'll definitely go higher in the draft. And I think it was a very smart move as far as that strategically, because, you know, the difference of going 20th in the draft and going 8th in the draft can be $10, $12 million.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I thought. Can you talk about how well he's played this year? Man, does he look good.
Oh, he does. He's physical. He's big. He can run. He can do all the things. But, I mean, they got so many other guys in that mix, too. They, you know, with Nick Coe and that whole group of guys that can rush and make plays inside. And then there's a whole group of that whole front up there is, just outstanding. 94 does a great job. One, Big Cat Bryant's really coming into his own. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Derrick Brown, he sets the tone for him, and the rest of those guys feed off of him. But there's going to be a lot of high draft picks come off of that. You know, Marvin Davidson's in that group. I mean, that whole group is going to be a really good team.
From an offensive standpoint, you're facing a freshman quarterback in Bo Nix, who now has three games under his belt. And he looked a little spotty in that game against Oregon, and yet, you know, made a play at the end of the game to win it. Can you talk about facing the young quarterbacks? Because this is about the time where they start to figure it out a little bit by game 4-5. They're no longer, you know, I don't know. It seems to be a comfort level that starts to develop, and that's about the area we are with Bo Nix.
Well, I think it is, and I think also it is from a coach's standpoint. Mm-hmm. You as a coach start figuring out what he can and can't do too.
Yep.
So you start calling the game according, not putting him in crazy situations, putting him in the right situations, and he gains confidence. And the more success you have, the more confidence you gain. So So those things all go hand in hand. And Bo, he's a coach's son, and his grandfather is. His grandfather was a tremendous coach. His dad was a tremendous coach and player. I coached his dad. His dad was a heck of a player for me at Auburn and a very good college coach, a tremendous high school coach. I mean, so he's going to know things as a coach's son that a lot of guys just don't know. And he's maturity of him, and he's a very good player.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on your home for Aggie football, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Jack's Grill. You know, you mentioned, and we were talking about Brown, the defensive lineman, and we saw Eric McCoy, coach, in the first week for the Saints. You inherited, and there's a lot of stuff here. Nick Martin gets an extension last week. We had Coach Zuerlein on, Larry Zuerlein, Lance's dad, and he was talking about centers. And, you know, you may not see him block or whatever, but if he's really good on that offense, line and he gets guys in the right blocking schemes and everything else, that's very valuable. You walk into Eric McCoy last year. What about now having to develop a new guy this season?
Oh, it is a big deal. Now then we got Prater playing center, who's played a lot of football, who has started a lot. I think he's doing a really good job. And McCollum had played at center, who's a very knowledgeable guy. And those guys did a lot of those same things last year. And you know, it was even new for Eric. Eric even knew it because our whole system was different. We were so much more that we put on the center, and we had more multitude of protections and runs. And Eric is, I think, is going to be a great pro. I don't think a good pro. I think Eric will play in the league a long, long time and make a lot. He was one of the best ones I've ever been around, and he learned a lot of that stuff in 1 year. And I think he did a really good job of mentoring these other guys, and they watched how he did it, and it's made a big difference in our calls and how we're doing. And those guys are I think, coming in far as that part of it, doing a really good job.
Yeah. Number one trait you want in a center?
That's intelligence. Yep. I, at the end of the day, because you're making so many calls, and then I think the toughness and the quickness that goes with it. And when you, because everybody talks about the tackles and guards, give me a great center. When you can, and a guy that can, you know, he can reach those shades and he has the ability to pull, it makes, you're up a guy. When your center is a guy that you have to help all the time, the running game becomes very tough because you're down a guy up front in normal count situations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Jimbo Fisher, Auburn, at Kyle Field this
loud.
Saturday.
It's going to be loud. It's going to be good. Is game day there?
No, game day is at Georgia, but SEC Nation and all the rest of them are over here. I mean, they're at Georgia and Notre Dame.
This is going to be fun, huh, Coach?
Yeah, oh, it's what you play for, and it's a great opportunity for our program and our guys, and we just, you know, keep learning on the big stage, and hope we'll play well.
Well, best of luck. We'll let you get back to work. We appreciate you joining us, as always, and we'll be watching you on Saturday.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, there he is, Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5. No Raheel. Raheel. Let's talk about your ex. How happy are you with seeing what's happening at Florida State?
No.
He's not happy about
Stop
that.
It.
Stop it, Raheel. Well, Raheel's not even here.
You sure he's not happy about
and
that?
And he's trying to ruin everybody's lives.
No.
What?
No, Del.
Del.
No. What else?
That's all. Well, I'll tell you what else. Texas Star Grill Shop.
Love Texas Star Grill Shop. One of the reasons I love Texas Star Grill Shop is because they make it so easy for you to either elevate your barbecue game or go from nothing to something immediately. And that's how good these grills are. Now, it's unbelievable that they're that. You ever heard of, you know, you have the self-parking cars, the cars that can handle the parking for you when you have the difficult parking challenges? They are the self-driving cars. How about self-cooking grills? These are unbelievable. You can, the second generation Traeger, I'll give you an example. You put the internal probe, you plug it into the actual facing of the grill, then you take the thermometer, you put it into, let's see, the beef tenderloin, and then you set it on your temperature. I'm going to go at about 325, and the internal temperature will tell you when it gets to, you know, 136, 135, and you are good to go. It's perfect every time. The temperature stays the same in the grill, and that's why the Pits and Spits and Green Mountain and all these wood pellet grills now are making it perfect every single time out. Make sure you go to Texas Star Grill Shop for the very best grills on the market. Two locations here in Houston, one at 2045 Southwest Freeway, and the other location is at 8905 off Louetta in Spring. It's TexasStarGrillShop.com for the big fall sale.
Let's just go. Okay, that guy, he doesn't want to say anything, though. The guy doesn't want to say anything. Back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You got anything you want to talk about on the show, you're more than welcome to do that. Dan Holgorsen joins us in an hour from now, right here. I did a question and answer with Dennis Rodman last night at Sam's Boat. It was pretty good. A lot of people there. He's still about as popular.
Sunglasses on?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that he ever, he's almost always
sunglasses. You never see him without his sunglasses on. And he was Dennis Rodman. I don't know if there were any kids there. I'm just hoping there weren't. He told a story about, he had some interesting things to say about Kim Hunt, Lamar Hunt's daughter.
What?
Yeah. They went out.
Kiss and tell?
I tried to get him to say a few things. I wanted to know who was the woman that he wanted, but he couldn't get. You know, and he just started naming women he could get. And then I wanted so he told the worst story about, I said, you know, his mom kicked him out of the house. So he said for 2 years, he lived on the streets in Dallas.
Yeah.
And,
about that.
And one night he won a basketball MVP trophy. He said a giant trophy. And I'm sitting on the street and I got this giant trophy next to me. And all of a sudden I look to my left and there's my mom with some guy that I don't know what she's doing with him. But she drops a card on me and keeps on walking.
The mom?
The mom did. His mom did. And he opens the card and it was a birthday card. It said happy birthday and it had $20 in it. And it said, if you want to come home, nice. You can. And she just kept walking. And so he did. And he said it was all still the same. And he still doesn't. He still hasn't. He's still got issues with his mom. I mean, if you haven't seen the 30 for 30, it's a very interesting, very, very interesting. He's so complex. Well,
the family he was with is kind of, I mean, it's almost like it's almost like a more country version of The Blind Side.
Yeah.
With the mom and dad. Yeah.
Only without money.
Yeah. That's what I said. Way more country.
Yeah. And, country doesn't mean poor.
Well, this is
Jackie's more country
rural.
And
this you know, is more rural. You're like farm. Yeah. And with a mom that wasn't afraid at one point
to drop
a racial bomb on you.
Well, and he said not only that, he said there was more. But you know, he said, hey, they didn't know who black people, they didn't have any idea who black people were. And so he said, I got to know white people. They got to know black people. So it was interesting. But he said, I've never been racist. He said, I never even thought of racism. It's just people are just people. So he still thinks that way, I think, even though he's seen so much. But he did tell the story of how he was having relations. And he decided to go across the room and then run as fast as he could and jump on top of her and try to. And then he said, oh, man. He said, she started going, oh, my God, oh, my God. And he broke it. And he goes.
What would it be?
Huh?
Oh, this is school. No, I got to check out of this. This is literally my kids are going to school right now, so everybody's kids are. This should have been an 8:24 story.
Yeah, probably. But the kids, you know what? There's a good story for the kids at school. So he said, but that wasn't the first. He said he'd broken it three times. He's broken that thing three times in his life. Maybe he'll go for four. I don't know. Maybe tonight he went for four. I asked him his best gambling story, and he started out with, well, I lost about $250,000 one time. And then he met Kim Hunt, and they go to a gentleman's club, and she gets $100,000 in ones.
Everybody turn the channel as kids now, or you've got to turn this thing down.
No. That's all. She got $100,000 in ones, and she said, now do what you want with it, Dennis. And he said, we threw about $50,000, and we made it rain for about $50,000, and he kept the other $50,000. And then she went and bought me a plane. And she said, what plane do you want here? And he went, oh, I like that one. And so she bought him a plane. And that, you know, I guess when you're Lamar Hunt's daughter, you got some disposable income.
Planes aren't cheap.
No, they're not cheap.
Planes cost.
He said it was about $5 million or whatever.
Cost.
Yeah, yeah. So he was very, very interesting. He's an interesting.
Oh no, he's got stories.
Oh yeah, he's got. Well, yeah.
I don't love that he's trying to be or has been at the forefront of our international, you know, not policy making, but our
our
international affairs with North Korea.
Well, but
I never thought I would see that when the worm was sitting there learning to, you know, draw charges as the defensive stopper at the three for the Bad Boy Pistons. I never thought, you know who's going to have to be a mediator for our country in North Korea?
Well, here's
that guy, the worm.
Well, I will say this, though. Kenneth Bay says if it wasn't for Dennis Rodman, he'd still be in a North Korean prison. He helped release, you know, that. And oh, by the way, in the documentary, you'll see, too, that Donald Trump's visit was actually probably would have never happened if it wasn't for Dennis Rodman. So while he has taken, he didn't want to talk at all about North Korea. He wanted nothing to do because he's gotten so much heat for North Korea and what he has said about Kim Jong-un and how they're best friends and he will always love him and all this stuff. But if it wasn't for Dennis Rodman, Kenneth Bay would probably say, and there would be absolutely no conversation between North Korea and the United States.
That's what I'm saying. I never thought that I would think.
No.
I would see the worm, the guy in the wedding dress, yeah. Out in New York, or dating Madonna. Oh, no. Yeah, he was a Madonna, too.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, Madonna.
She had some interesting choices.
Carmen Electra, Pam Anderson. He said he was with Pam Oliver in the documentary. I don't know if he was or not.
That's a throw-in.
Well,
Pam Oliver.
Well, Pam, no, it's in the documentary. And Jerome Solomon's sitting right, and he goes, nah, Pam Oliver's, I said, I know who Pam Oliver is. Watch the documentary.
Well, that's, but it seems outrageous for you to say Pam.
Well,
Carmen Electra. Yeah, girl from Baywatch.
Go watch.
Now, Pam Oliver.
Pam Oliver, he might have just been fooling around with Pam Oliver in the documentary. Maybe he never had her or whatever, but she's a girl that he refers to as, yeah, we're doing stuff. Anyway, so it's very interesting. Now, I did ask him, when was the last time you wore a wedding dress? And he said, last week. He's going to be doing a shoot for the 20th anniversary of the wedding dress. So he's doing he's going to see how he fits in the wedding dress now, or maybe they're doing a new wedding dress or whatever. But really, really, really interesting interview. Hope if you were there last night, you know what I'm talking about. But it was, he's a complex dude now. Complex dude. It was nice to have him in town, and I don't know. He was brought to you by Any Tickets. You remember our guys, mm-hmm. Marcus and Chris and Derek and those guys over there at anytickets.com.
So, Dennis Rodman, we know what, and this is what's interesting, is we have Jalen Ramsey, for example. Now, he doesn't come with all the emotional baggage of Dennis. Dennis Rodman was one of the most unique. I mean, he was an unbelievably competitive person. And in the documentary, they talk about it. His, you know, he shot up. He had a big groin spurt. He went to Southeast Oklahoma or wherever it was. And he was this unbelievable rebounder and scorer.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't realize that he was actually an inside
average
scorer.
Average 24 a game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there was
an NAIA. 14 or 15 rebounds. And people talked about his rebounding and what did he work on. And he goes, nothing. I just
played.
Knew how to rebound. It is an instinct, but it's also a desire. Like rebounding is, a lot of it is just your will to outposition the other guy. Kind of like being a wide receiver. D-Hop has it, right?
It was said in the documentary, the greatest rebounder of all time. Agree or disagree?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I mean,
I would imagine Wilt.
He's in the initial conversation. Well, I think you have to factor Moses. In how big, you know, how big you are, yeah. What you do with, like, I don't know that he was a pretty good leaper. He was a good athlete,
yeah.
But he was an unbelievable hustler. I do think that you have to put him in consideration, and then you have your conversation. But Dennis Rodman was a guy who added so much heart, but he also, there was high maintenance stuff, even all the way back to back to Detroit. And just to for those of you who are maybe too young, or if I have to reset it, you know, Dennis Rodman ended up being a distraction for the San Antonio Spurs. When the Rockets beat the Spurs and Dream beat, you know, he's taking his shoes off in the middle of the game. He hurt the San Antonio Spurs' chances of winning. And then when he went to the Bulls, you know, I'll never forget kicking the guy in the junk in the game against Milwaukee. Dennis had to be managed. And almost like Antonio Brown, I think it's very similar. Antonio Brown could be managed by the New England Patriots, I suspect. Rodman, the thought was, the only way Rodman can survive anymore without blowing a team up, a franchise up, is he has to be on a team with, like, Jordan. Because Jordan wasn't going to put up with that. And he made it through three years.
Antonio Brown is now with Brady, Jordan.
And it makes some sense. Right. Jordan, but he made it through 3 years with three titles with that Bulls team. But that's why, you know, when you have guys like that who are high maintenance and who, with the good, is going to come some bad, and you have to figure out how you're going to manage it, that's what I think Jalen Ramsey brings now. And Antonio Brown, and now probably a growing legion of players in sports are going to become more, it's going to be my way or the highway to the teams, and they're going to do whatever they want. And the Patriots are one of the few teams that still have an ideology that is so strong that players have a hard time bucking that system or trend. I don't know how that's going to last when TB12 is gone. I don't know if that's going to change or alter. I know
absolutely.
It's going to change.
Everything changes.
Once Bill Belichick is gone, I guarantee it will change. But I don't know if Jalen is super talented, just like Marcus Peters, right? Marcus Peters was a third and a fifth for Marcus Peters. That's what Marcus Peters went for. A great ball player.
The Texans changed the whole market on everyone.
No, I could sense that people didn't recognize and realize what had just happened. That was Khalil Mack, the best defensive player in all of football. You made a Khalil Mack trade. That's what the Bears traded for Khalil Mack, one of the game wreckers, one of the great game wreckers in football right now. You just paid that for a left tackle. So now, I don't know if that's going to change. I don't know that it does change the bar for making trades. I don't think other teams are like, I'm not paying Texans.
Well, wait
prices.
A minute. Marcus Peters, who's one of the best corners
but
in the
he
game.
Was such he's a pain in the ass.
Well, he's a pain in the ass. I get that, but, you know, so is Jalen Ramsey. But
they took a third and a
so
fifth.
So is Jalen Ramsey. Guess
Minka
what?
Went for
they're
one.
Getting. Well, Minka, I don't think he's a pain
but
in the ass.
But he's a pain in the ass. That is, like, what? Marcus Peters wasn't as good a cover man.
No. But Jalen Ramsey is going to get more than a third and a fifth.
Oh, no. Jalen's. It's going to start at a first.
Yeah.
But is he – how valuable – I'm not even considering him for the Texans. They're not trading him, and they don't have first-round picks. They're not trading him in the division. But how valuable – like, I think there are certain teams who ain't going to work on. You could have a lot of problems. I think you better be a strong locker room to bring in Jalen Ramsey. Because if he's in line and all about winning, man, is he going to make a big impact for a team.
Yeah.
I think the Dallas Cowboys should be looking at him. I really mean that. I don't want them to be – great, but the fact is, that's a guy that would be, I would make them one of the favorites in the Super Bowl if they added Jalen Ramsey. I really would.
Yep. All right, let's take a break. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, you're more than welcome. In the meantime.
Hey, out in Angleton, some good things are going on right now. Some great things are going on right now. And that includes some incredible deals like with the Chevy Traverse. My wife just went to the Chevy Traverse this summer. We went out there and picked up the Chevy Traverse. There is a great lease opportunity, which is what we're looking for. It's a crossover vehicle that has a tremendous amount of space on the interior, but it's got a great design on the exterior. It's one of the reasons I like it so much is it's got such a really sporty SUV-style design without being as bulky as the SUV, better gas mileage in SUV, better car payments, frankly, than the SUV. So make sure that you go check out your Chevy Traverse out there in Angleton at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They have all the crossovers and the pickup trucks and even the 2020 Corvette that you can get out there. And Correa, our guy Carlos Correa, just ended up getting another vehicle out at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. It's where you get better prices, and it's that simple. Out in Angleton, a little further drive, but a lot less money. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
The
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, so NFL power rankings are out. Del, where you figure the Dolphins are at in the power rankings?
I would imagine they're 32.
32. How many teams are there in the league?
They're 32.
32. Who would you put at 31?
Jets.
Darnold.
No, can't be Jets because Darnold's not there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that counts.
Yeah, but I think they'll be better.
With Darnold, they lost at home to the Bills.
How about not AFC South, not AFC
Think NFC
North.
East.
Yeah, I was going to say Giants.
Yeah. It's in some order.
Eli looked good.
It's in some order. It's Jets, Giants, and they've even got the Redskins at 29.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Cardinals at 28. I think the Cardinals have shown better. I think the Broncos are worse than the Cardinals.
Honestly, the Broncos are just staying alive on the value of their some of their names on defense. Joe Flacco stinks.
It's bad.
Ooh,
their defense has played well, not against the Raiders so much.
I would say Arizona's worse than Denver, but Arizona's been more. They've been competitive.
A little surprising to me.
They've been competitive.
Yeah,
so
they
far.
Came back against the Lions, and hell, they were within six of list this past week.
Have they covered twice?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
they got a little lucky against the first one.
They got the Jags at 20. They got Bengals at 26, who I think have played better. The Jags at 25. Okay, how
honestly,
would you...
I would put the Jags inside of that. I think the Jags might be one of the five worst.
Yeah.
Four worst, five worst, yeah. Especially when they deal Jalen. And they will deal him.
Yeah.
And then A.J. Bouye is going to demand a trade. He'll be the next one.
We'll see if Ngakoue, and we'll see.
And they say Ngakoue behind the scenes is a pain in the ass, too.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, so power rankings at the top. I mean, I think this one's pretty obvious.
So, number one is New England. Yeah. I think in the top three is probably going to be Green Bay.
Green Bay, they've got it seven.
See, so you've beaten Chicago and you've beaten Minnesota. Granted, how do you start off with two division games? But anyway, I don't feel like they're one of the top three. I just figured they would put them in there.
Yeah, I don't feel like they're top. I don't think they're anywhere close to the Chiefs. They've got
Yeah. Chiefs have to be two.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me guess three. So in three, it's got to be an NFC team, right?
Yep.
So NFC, it's not going to be. So it's either going to be Cowboys or Eagles. No, Rams.
Rams.
Yeah.
Rams and then the Cowboys. Ravens. They look pretty good. The Ravens look pretty good.
Whose is this? This feels like a pretty accurate.
This is NFL.
Yeah.
This is NFL.
NFL.com?
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels really smart.
Did you do it?
No. I don't know who did it, but it feels like somebody who knows what they're doing.
And then it's...
Can I guess on Texans? Like...
That's exactly what 14? I wanted you to do.
14?
That's exactly where they are.
You're lying.
No.
If there's ever anything you need to check on with the Texans, just say, hey, where do they stand in the league? Your number is going to be somewhere between 12 and 18. That's all you got to do. You'll be fine if you just make
so
a guess.
So what's
that?
Okay.
I swear I didn't see
they
it.
Go
it
just, to the Chargers this obvious. Week. They go to the Chargers this week. I don't figure they win, although the Chargers haven't been playing great football. Maybe they do miss Melvin Gordon. I don't know. We'll see. I just don't feel like the Texans are going to. I feel like the Texans could possibly lose this one 15 to 11 or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's like this is like a 15 to 11 game. And if they do lose that, they probably fall a little bit further. Then they got Carolina and Atlanta here.
The Texans are going to upset the Chargers.
You do?
I do. The Chargers are not playing good football right now. This is 2 weeks in a row. They haven't gotten it going. I think now I'm a little worried, obviously, about the pass rush of the Chargers. But I think the Texans they tend to rise to the occasion against teams where you're not really sure you expect it. And then they go dookie on you like they did on Sunday in a win.
They beat the Colts, who I think is a better team than the Texans. That was at home. And now they're at home again against the Texans.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Chargers in this one.
Yeah, I think most people would. I just feel like an upset's coming.
And then they got Carolina and Atlanta. Listen, they have to win those two because they're at Kansas City and they're at Indianapolis.
At what do you think at any point this season the Texans crack the top 10 power ranking? They're going to be playing from behind all season because the schedule is tough up top.
Yeah.
At the beginning. So, and then in the middle, they still got Baltimore, which wasn't thought to be as tough a game as it's going to be now.
Top 10. Yeah, I will say they will. I will say they will, but why would I say that if I think this whole time I thought they were going to be 7-9 or 8?
Yeah, why are you saying that?
I don't know. Yeah. 8-8's not top 10.
No. It's middling, are.
So all season long, they're not going to...
If they get this upset, they're going to be in there.
Yes. Well, maybe.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, they'll be 2-1.
You beat the Chargers, you'll be 2-1. You'll be in there.
Yeah, except...
You go win on the road?
The Chargers are 11. Except, if the Vikings and Bears and Eagles all... If everybody ahead of them wins...
This isn't the AP. It's just people's perception. And I was thinking about that, too. We really have got to change this idea of you can't move ahead of a team unless they lose in college football or they make the argument about it. Once again... At least luckily, the BCS poll doesn't come out until the middle of the year. What is the purpose of the AP? It's just for fans, I guess.
Yeah.
The AP, and it really should have no barrier. It really is irrelevant.
They're worthless. Both because polls are worthless.
Somebody was asking me
a
question.
It's just something to talk about.
I was listening to a show, or maybe, I don't know, maybe one of my kids asked me a question about, you can't move ahead of somebody else until they lose. Bull crap. If your assessment, I use the Vegas methodology. If your assessment is that one team is better than another team, then that team is better than the other team. I don't get caught up in these nonsense rules. Like you have to try to figure out who the best. If what your job is and whatever, whether it's a column you're writing or whatever, you have to be reasonable about certain things. If you don't have wins to back it up, then you can't just say it's just my opinion if there's not any wins. But if you've got some stuff to back it up, don't get bogged down with, this team's undefeated and this team has one loss. So what? If you know that team is better than the other team, you know what Vegas does? Well, we can't make them a favorite. They have one loss. The other team's undefeated.
They're higher ranked.
First, the polls, the polls are for TV. Because if I slapped a number 20 ranking on, let's say, Colorado to start the year, and randomly slapped one on Colorado State at 18 just because they were starting the year playing each other, all of a sudden that's a top 25 matchup.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give you an example about how worthless they are. Nick Saban. Jalen Hurts played Oklahoma played U of H on a Sunday. That's Nick Saban's former player. He might, in all of the scenarios, he probably wouldn't watch that game. He might take an interest in watching his former player. You know what Nick Saban did? Didn't watch it because I had practice. So, a potential voter in the polls didn't watch a top five team play on that night because he had coaching stuff to do.
But he's not voting.
Yeah, but that's we're talking about AP as opposed to coaches' poll.
The coaches' poll is part of it, too.
They rank those teams, and it's all for TV.
Their
sports information director.
Do you think the SID is watching the game?
Yeah, it might be.
Why?
Some of them take it seriously. Other ones don't have any idea. Whoever's wins, they move forward.
Both of them are worthless. Right. They're for TV and nothing else.
Right. 755 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776.
Foundation repair doesn't get any easier once you just let it go. Like, what would be great? If I just keep letting this foundation get worse, it'll probably get easier to repair. Said no one ever. And if you aren't sure if you have foundation issues, why don't you call the experts at Ramjack and let one of the on-site technicians come take a look and tell you whether or not you've got an issue and how bad your issue is. You can call 713-599-0102. Here in Texas, if you don't have foundation issues, you are going to, and if you haven't had them, if you have had them in the past and you've dealt with a company that you weren't satisfied with, that happens more times than not. Ramjack has a lifetime transferable warranty, and theirs matters. They've been in business over 40 years because they use patented technology that works. You can do it right the first time with Ramjack rather than having someone else have to come in a second time once you hire them. Ramjack has to do cleanup work all the time for other people's issues. So make sure that you go with the experts at Ramjack. Do it right. Call the experts today, 713-599-0102, and take care of your home. It's a great investment, but it's one that needs to maintain its value. And to do that, you got to take care of the foundation. Ramjack.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.